whatever comes to your mind, inshallah, we can as a community get involved and engaged with this important topic. Inshallah, we will try to address every night one important aspect of community, and tonight I'm going to prepare the ground, inshallah, for the coming lectures. As we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that He has sent for mankind many, many prophets. Why? لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ, so that people establish justice, social justice, equity. لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ, not لِيُقِيمُ الْقِسْطِ. They didn't come to establish social justice. They came to teach people and help people so that people get ready for establishing social justice. If you read the lives of the messengers in the Quran, you find that the Prophet Ibrahim, Nabiyyina wa Ali alayhi salam, had a very important role. He is one of the very special people. One of the five most outstanding messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The father of Tawheed. The one that today Jews, Christians, Muslims all belong. So if today there is a group of people which are actually more than half population of the world who believe in God in a monotheistic way, this is all partly because of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. I'm saying partly because, of course, many other prophets contributed, but we are all in debt to Prophet Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alihi alayhi salam. Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail, after asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to raise to the level of being Muslim for themselves, then they said, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكْ, please also make from our progeny a community which is submissive to you. He didn't say وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا مُسْلِمِينَ لَكْ, مِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكْ, please honor us by having a Muslim, a submissive community, nation among our progeny. This is very important and very wise prayer of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhim as-salam. وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا, please show us our rites, our rituals, and please accept our tawbah, please return to us. And then they were very clever. They realized that achieving this needs a guide, a very high caliber guide.
Oh, what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow. His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. Down this road that holds all the answers. Open your heart to something greater.
His holy book speaks pure and true, and always tells us what we must do. His last prophet was sent as a guide, an example by which we abide. There is salvation for those who seek to find the one and only source of peace and understanding of why we are here. Who created us, who we must fear. So what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
Therefore they said, Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasulan min anfusihim. Our Lord, please raise among our progeny not a teacher, not a scholar, not even a Nabi, Rasul. Because as we said, it is Rasul who can help people to establish social justice. Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasulan min anfusihim. Please raise among them a messenger, but a messenger who is also from them. So they were asking indeed the honor of receiving a messenger, and the second honor that that messenger is one of them. And then they said, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. That messenger is going to teach them, to read for them your verses, your communications, to teach them the book and wisdom, and to purify them. So Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was building again Kaaba, was praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to honor him by having among his progeny a messenger who would teach the rest of his progeny so that they can purify themselves, they can be given the book and wisdom, and finally they can establish a submissive community. Ummatan muslimatan lak. So, everything that happened afterwards is realization of this dua of Ibrahim and Ismail. In three places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he actually sent that messenger. For example, in Surah Jumu'ah, in Surah Baqarah, هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب. Everything happened as far as Allah is concerned. He provided us with that messenger. He started reciting the verses of Allah, teaching people the book and wisdom, purifying them. But what was the responsibility of people, which was لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ, has not yet been happening.
I'm looking back throughout the years to breathe is hard and my eyes are choked with tears. Your face and hair are full of light. Now it will soon be time to go. I feel you feeling calm now. Did the angel let you know?
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to be friends with the pious and righteous people in this world and the hereafter. May Allah let us be always on the right path with Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. May Allah enable us and our children generation by generation to be always at the service of Imam Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. And may Allah make us able to understand what our Imam expects from us to do in this time and in this age. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
Amid the confusion, the chaos and the pain, a man emerged and Muhammad was his name.
and walking with nothing but Allah as his aid, and the mark of a prophet between his shoulder blades. In a cave in Mount Hira, the revelation came. Read, O Muhammad, read in Allah's name. May the blessings of Allah be on al-Mustafa. None besides him could have been al-Mujtaba. Muhammad, peace be upon his soul. The greatest of prophets, Islam was his only goal. بلغ العلا بكماله كشف الدجى بجماله حسن الجميع خصاله صلوا عليه وآله محمد peace be upon his soul. The greatest of prophets, Islam was his only goal.
Round the world with reporters.
As part of Israel's land grabbing and illegal settlement expanding policies in the occupied West Bank, Israeli media have reported that a Knesset committee member and senior Likud member Nir Barkat has presented a plan to the Knesset to further expand settlement activities in the occupied West Bank and the Jordan Valley. According to the plan, Israel needs to establish some industrial zones and expand tourism in the areas.
Nir Barkat is one of the establishment, this fanatic Zionist establishment, that they are behind this colonial project. So what he did is not, he's saying, and what he offered is not something new. It's part of the whole Zionist plan, colonial plan that's already going on the ground. When we talk this year about 15,000 housing units that has been issued, this is double than the last year.
Barkat has also announced that Israel aims to settle 2 million Jewish settlers in the occupied West Bank. This comes after contacts took place between settlers and Barkat himself over the past few days. Experts say to make this available, Barkat has put a plan to tighten Israel's grip on the Palestinian lands, adding that the Israeli regime will have to approve these plans before the inauguration of the next U.S. administration on 20 January 21 to make sure they will be applied.
Israeli parties are using the remaining period of Trump administration to carry out an ethnic cleansing project, first in Jerusalem al-Quds and then in the occupied West Bank. Tel Aviv wants to restrict Palestinians in their villages and at the same time to control their surrounding areas without official declaration of annexation.
During the four-year period of U.S. President Donald Trump, settlement activity has more than doubled, as the number of plans approved by Netanyahu's regime increased 2.5 times compared to the previous 4 years. For years, Israeli authorities have continued to facilitate the expansion of illegal settlements in Palestinian territories. Tel Aviv has done everything possible to minimize the Palestinian population. Experts say what Israel is doing is annexation of Palestinian lands without official declaration. Mona Kandil in front of the Israeli settlement of Beit Il, occupied Ramallah.
The number of coronavirus infections is on the rise in Gaza. Infections have spiked to nearly 22,000 cases since March. Daily hospitalizations due to COVID-19 also continue to rise, bringing the average of serious and critical cases to more than 20% of confirmed cases. Some 2 million Palestinians in Gaza are at the increasing risk of contracting the virus amid a severely depleted healthcare system, which is largely attributable to the Israeli regime's ongoing blockade.
The growing number of infections is exerting a lot of pressure on our health system, which is already in a bad shape because of Israel's blockade. The health sector is suffering from acute shortage in medicines and equipment to combat the deadly pandemic.
Local authorities in the tiny enclave have been desperately fighting to prevent the devastating outbreak of COVID-19 since March. People in Gaza who recovered from the deadly virus are still traumatized and say they are lucky to be alive.
The coronavirus infection was a horrifying experience. As a photojournalist, I have covered Israeli wars and military bombardments, and honestly, I was much more scared when I contracted the COVID-19 virus. When facing coronavirus, you are facing an unseen enemy. Anyone can get infected, and I have seen young people fighting for their lives in intensive care units.
The pandemic has added to the substantial financial strain already felt by many families living in the Gaza Strip and left a huge negative impact on the economy.
The pandemic started to spread locally in late August, and every day we hear of hundreds of new infections. The pandemic has hurt all businesses, especially small businesses like mine. I have to work every day. And if I don't work, I will not be able to provide food for my family.
Hundreds of Gazan patients have already lost their lives in recent years due to the Israeli regime's inhumane practices.
Experts warn that the unprecedented surge in COVID-19 cases in the Gaza Strip will soon overwhelm the under-equipped health sector. The tiny enclave has been under a crippling Israeli blockade since 2007. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
Iran's incumbent parliament has taken by far the most headline-making measure since the beginning of its tenure. 251 out of 260 lawmakers voted yes to a draft bill, dubbed the Strategic Action Plan to lift sanctions. The bill comprises 9 articles, all authorizing the resumption of nuclear activities that have been limited under the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. The first and most important article requires the government to disregard the 3.67% cap that the deal has imposed on the grade of enriched uranium and resume enrichment at 20% purity level. The parliament's bill now needs the approval of the Guardian Council to become law.
My colleagues and I in parliament have tasked the government to suspend any foreign access and monitoring beyond the additional protocol within 2 months of the adoption of the law. The Islamic Republic will then continue to cooperate within the framework of the IAEA safeguard, but not the additional protocol. The government will also have to return to the 20% uranium enrichment grade needed to produce medicine for cancer patients. It will produce at least 120 kilograms of uranium with 20% enrichment annually at Fordo and store it inside the country. There are other steps all taken to revive our rights and respond to Europe's lack of commitment.
The new legislation was proposed in the wake of the assassination of top Iranian nuclear scientist Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, which Iran blames on Israel. Tel Aviv has long been openly trying to torpedo Iran's nuclear energy program. The Israeli regime was also implicated in the targeted killings of 4 other Iranian nuclear scientists nearly a decade ago.
The footprints of Israel cannot be cleared in this case. Mr. Fakhrizadeh has been the number one target of Mossad for 2 decades. And recently there are reports that the weapon collected from the site of the Terrorist Act bears the logo and the specification of Israel military industry, and Israel has not commented on the issue yet, but it should brace for serious effort from Iran.
Iran's change of tone toward the nuclear deal came in 2018, following the U.S.'s unilateral withdrawal from the multilateral accord. Iran has also been criticizing the European parties to the deal for failing to live up to their commitments under the deal. Last year, Tehran began a stepwise suspension of its nuclear obligations to make the EU keep its side of the bargain. This last move by parliament is the boldest countermeasure Iran has taken to, quote, keep the balance between its obligations and rights under the accord. They say this way they will unlock the shackles placed on the country's nuclear program and pursue the goals of assassinated nuclear scientists like Mohsen Fakhrizadeh. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Despite working at breakneck speed, the makers of the COVID-19 vaccines, now on the verge of being rolled out, insist no corners have been cut. Biotech company Moderna has applied for US and European emergency authorization for its vaccine, which it claims to be 94.1% effective with no serious safety concerns. Meanwhile, United Airlines are getting ready to kickstart a global supply and distribution network for Pfizer's vaccine. Governments everywhere are trying to secure their share to kickstart their economies.
We have every reason now to be very hopeful that these vaccines really will turn the tide in the struggle against the disease and unlock not just this country, but unlock the whole of the world and give people finally a sense of relief.
And as we set out this weekend, we've secured 2 million further doses, meaning that we in the UK now have access to a total of 357 million doses of 7 different vaccines.
A mass inoculation programme is expected to begin in late December, and more than 80% need to be vaccinated for the global initiative to succeed.
The challenges of mass distribution are immense. Some of those challenges are convincing people that the vaccine is necessary and safe, because this has happened before and things have gone wrong.
In 2009, a British company developed a swine flu vaccine. It was approved by the European Medicines Agency for use across the EU, but following a widespread vaccination campaign, 1,800 people, primarily children and young adults under 30, developed debilitating narcolepsy that causes excessive and often uncontrollable drowsiness. So is this happening too fast?
Apparently the MHRA, the Medicines and Health Regulatory Authority in this country, has put out a tender, which was put out through the EU. I think that's how it got picked up into the news. But this tender is for an artificial intelligence system, which they are saying is necessary to spend public money on that because there are going to be a very high level of adverse events. Now, we obviously have had vaccination in this country for a very long time, mass vaccination programs on a routine basis. So that's quite surprising because we've got all of these other vaccines with a system which copes with their adverse events. But apparently now we need an entire new standalone system because the level of adverse events expected are going to be kind of off the scale of what our existing systems can handle.
Children will not be immunised, but the British government has not ruled out making the vaccines compulsory for adults. Westminster is mulling ways to incentivise getting the jab first. People may need an immunity passport or QR code on their phone to attend football matches, the theatre and other events like the Tokyo Olympics. Qantas Airlines have already announced that proof that you've been vaccinated will be compulsory on its flights. Bianca Rahimi, London.
Iran, Cuba and Venezuela host a virtual seminar at the UN headquarters in Vienna on unilateral sanctions and their impacts in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. The three countries are under crippling US sanctions that have added extra pressure as they struggle to fight the coronavirus. Banking restrictions resulting from the sanctions are affecting the country's ability to obtain medical equipment, a point highlighted by the UN Special Rapporteur on the negative impact of unilateral coercive measures on the enjoyment of human rights. Iran's ambassador to international organizations in Vienna, Kazem Gharibabadi, said as the world's biggest imposer of unilateral sanctions, the US should be held accountable for the consequences of its actions.
These sanctions violate human rights in the current circumstances. In our country, we also face a problem in importing medicine and medical equipment from abroad as a result of these cruel, unilateral, coercive measures and banking restrictions. Those who impose these sanctions have international responsibilities.
The Cuban ambassador said many countries are unaware of the impact that these sanctions are having on countries' healthcare systems and people's normal day-to-day lives.
As a result of this seminar, we will try to impulse all declaration in all resolution of United Nations to include the request to the United States and the other country and the European country who impose unilateral coercive measure to lifting those measures as the Secretary General of the United Nations requests and the High Commissioner of Human Rights.
In a joint statement, representatives of 38 participating countries said unilateral coercive measures are against international law, human rights and the UN Charter.
Under the current circumstances caused by the coronavirus, they said, sanctions have made targeted countries vulnerable and need to be lifted. Homa Lezgi, Vienna.
We are told that EU officials are monitoring the situation in the Middle East very closely as tensions escalate over the assassination last Friday of senior Iranian nuclear scientist Mohsen Fakhrizadeh. The 27-nation bloc's foreign policy spokesperson, Peter Stano, gave this reaction when we spoke to him via Skype.
What happened on Friday in the city of Abzaz is a criminal act and runs counter to the principle of respect for human rights on which or for which the European Union is standing for.
One EU lawmaker says Israel orchestrated the attack under false pretenses and in cahoots with the Trump administration to try and scupper Joe Biden's plans to re-engage with Iran in 2021.
People should remember that Iran has no nuclear weapons, despite for the last 25 years Israel crying wolf that they could develop one. Israel has nuclear weapons. So, I mean, which is the bigger danger to peace in the region?
Political commentators say the EU has a pattern of issuing strongly worded statements, but will once again shy away from taking any firm steps against Israel. They say the bloc has turned a blind eye to repeated international law violations perpetrated by Israel and Saudi Arabia. Apparently, this is because the EU does not want to upset the United States. But also, trade in weapons and goods to these regimes is worth billions of euro annually. The big question now is, how might Tehran respond to Fakhrizadeh's murder? And what impact could any such response have on ambitions under a Biden presidency to save the Iran nuclear deal?
Tehran has always insisted its nuclear energy program is purely peaceful. Security analysts say the Israeli regime and the very powerful Israel lobby in Washington have shown time and time again the last thing in the world they want is peace with Iran. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Iran has held a funeral ceremony for its top nuclear scientist Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, who was assassinated near Tehran on Friday. Due to coronavirus, only senior government and military officials attended the event. Addressing the participants, Iranian Defense Minister Amir Khatami said assassinating Iranian scientists is an indication of the enemy's defeat. The defense minister vowed a crushing response to the perpetrators of the attack.
Every criminal activity, every assassination or terror will be responded. The enemies must know that they will receive a crushing response and that we will act in accordance with the order of Iran's leader, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei.
Fakhrizadeh, who headed the Iranian Defense Minister's Organization of Defensive Innovation and Research, was assassinated after his car was ambushed in the city of Absert, east of the capital Tehran. Fakhrizadeh was seriously injured and taken to hospital, but he succumbed to his wounds. He had a long history in defense innovations and had made key efforts to promote Iran's peaceful nuclear energy program. This made him the number one target of Israel's intelligence services, which have a track record of targeted killings of Iranian nuclear scientists nearly a decade ago.
History has shown that the actions of the enemies will not be left unanswered. We will take revenge. We will punish all those who ordered and those who carried out this terrorist attack.
The main perpetrators of these terrorist attacks against my father should wake up to this reality that this path will continue and his blood will make his name remain in history for good. They can do nothing.
Observers say the assassination of the Iranian scientist comes as part of Israel's attempts to disrupt Iran's peaceful nuclear energy program, which Tel Aviv accuses of having military dimensions. Iran has time and again dismissed such allegations and signed the 2015 nuclear deal with the world powers as a sign of goodwill.
Iranian officials have vowed a crushing response to the main perpetrators of the attack against Dr. Fakhrizadeh, saying his path will continue much more resolutely than ever before. Salman Kujiri, Tehran.
The International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people was designated by the United Nations on November 29 in 1977. The day is marked every year internationally with rallies and activities aimed at drawing attention to the struggle of the Palestinian people. This year, a protest was held in the village of Khan al-Ahmar that is under a threat again to be demolished by the Israeli military, On this day, Palestinians assured they will continue to defend their lands amid calls by the Palestine Liberation Organization to enable the Palestinians to exercise their right to self-determination and their independent state.
We are still struggling to protect our basic rights against Israeli regime violence. Meanwhile, our dream of an independent Palestinian state has not yet come true. We have come here to voice our protest against Israel's aggression. We are the real owners of these lands.
This year, however, Palestinians say they were left alone struggling the Israeli occupation and its non-stop attempts to annex more lands, mainly after some Arab states have signed normalization deals with Tel Aviv. These ties, Palestinians say, simply undermine efforts for Palestinian state. Palestinian officials stress that what they see as a symbolic international solidarity has failed to give the Palestinian people their rights, while Israel continues to occupy most of the land of historical Palestine.
Israel will not be deterred by statements of condemnation. Israel can be stopped only by popular nonviolent Palestinian struggle and boycott, divestment, sanctions against its system of apartheid. That's what we want to see. BDS, not normalization with occupation.
The UN, meanwhile, has renewed commitment to the Palestinian people. However, its Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, has cautioned that the prospects for a viable two-state solution are becoming more distant, mainly with Israel's expansion of illegal settlements, a significant spike in the demolition of Palestinian homes and structures, violence, and continued militant activity. After more than 40 years since the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people was designated by the UN, Palestinian rights remain usurped and the dream of an independent Palestinian state has not yet come true. Mona Kandil, occupied Ramallah.
Venezuela's judiciary has convicted a group of former oil executives who plotted with the U.S. government against the interests of the South American country Citgo Petroleum Corporation, which is based in the United States. The judicial ruling comes at a time when Caracas is fighting to regain control of Citgo, as the company was illegally confiscated by the administration of U.S. President Donald Trump. Citgo's former executives were found guilty of passing secret information to American authorities in order to inflict damage on Venezuela's oil industry, a misconduct that is regarded as a major crime in Venezuela. In this scenario, officials support the judicial verdict.
The judge's decision is aimed at protecting our country's oil industry from U.S.-funded spies like ex-Citgo executives.
On the flip side, the opposition criticizes this legal case.
There is not enough evidence of conspiracy between the former executives and the U.S., so this court ruling is politically motivated.
Nonetheless, experts say the country's judiciary issued the right verdict.
The former executives are the Venezuelans who hold U.S. citizenship. That's a felony itself, in case you are the manager of a Venezuelan company.
Venezuela's judiciary has punished the former oil executives for their complicity with the U.S. Analysts say this is part of Caracas's legal actions to get back Citgo, the oil company that was illegally confiscated by Washington. Jesus Silva, Caracas.
Faqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech from IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Ayatollah Sayyid Mohsen Kharrazi. Please stay tuned.
الحكيم في كتابه الكريم إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار.
Allah in the Holy Quran in Surah Ali Imran ayahs 190 and 191 states, indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of night and day, there are signs for those who possess intellects. Those who remember Allah standing, sitting, and lying on their sides and reflect on the creation of the heavens and the earth and say, Our Lord, You have not created this in vain. Immaculate are You. Save us from the punishment of the fire.
در حقیقت اینها لب دارن عقل دارن یعنی اینها از عقلشون
Allah in these two ayahs is talking about the power of Allah in creating every possible being and entity, and through mentioning these creations He wants to say that those who possess intellect think about these as signs of greatness of Allah. Also, Allah says the believers reflect on the signs in every position. Another great point in this verse is the purpose of creation. For sure, this world is not created in vain, and this is not the final place for human beings. This shows that there is a resurrection and calculation of our deeds. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Ayatollah Sayyid Mohsen Kharrazi. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com/en, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure.
Hello.
IRIB English Radio.
in the limelight.
A vast expanse of Amazon rainforest, seven times larger than Greater London, has been destroyed over the last year as deforestation surges to a 12-year high under Brazil's far-right president, Jair Bolsonaro. Figures released by the Brazilian Space Institute, INPE, on Monday, 30th of November, showed at least 11,088 square kilometers of rainforest was razed between August of 2019 and July of 2020, the highest figure since 2008. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian columnist Tom Phillips. The piece is titled, Amazon Deforestation Surges to a 12-Year High Under Bolsonaro. Stay with us for more of Tom Phillips's article. Vast expanse of Amazon rainforest, seven times larger than Greater London, has been destroyed over the last year as deforestation surges to a 12-year high under Brazil's far-right president, Jair Bolsonaro. Figures released by the Brazilian Space Institute, INPE, on Monday, 30th of November, showed at least 11,088 square kilometers of rainforest was razed between August of 2019 and July of 2020, the highest figure since 2008. Carlos Whittle, a Brazilian environmentalist who works at Germany's Institute for Advanced Sustainability Studies, said the numbers were humiliating, shameful, and outrageous, and a clear sign of the damage being done to the environment since Jair Bolsonaro took office in January of 2019. This is an area a third the size of Belgium, gigantic areas of forest that are being lost simply because under Bolsonaro, those who are doing the destroying feel no fear of being punished, Whittle said. Bolsonaro's great achievement when it comes to the environment has been this tragic destruction of forests, which has turned Brazil into perhaps one of the greatest enemies of the global environment and into an international pariah state as well. Brazil's Vice President, Hamilton Mourão, tried to put a positive spin on the bleak figures as he visited INPE's headquarters in the city of São José de Campos on Monday. Hamilton Mourão claimed the annual increase of 9.5% was less than half the anticipated figure of about 20%. We're not here to commemorate any of this because it's nothing to commemorate. But it means that the efforts being launched against Amazon deforestation are starting to yield fruit, Vice President Hamilton Mourão said. Environmentalists, meanwhile, who blame Jair Bolsonaro's deliberate weakening of enforcement efforts for the rise, scoffed at the interpretation provided by Vice President Hamilton Mourão. This number is an outrage. It doesn't tell us anything positive about the Bolsonaro administration at all. On the contrary, it shows that despite the COVID-19 quarantine, environmental crime has increased in Brazil, Carlos Little said. Hamilton Mourão's comment about the smaller-than-expected rise was like saying that we were expecting 300,000 COVID deaths and we only had 200,000, Whittle added. Christiane Mazzetti, a Greenpeace spokesperson for the Amazon, said, "This is an even worse number than 2019 and a direct reflection of the Bolsonaro administration's anti-environmental policies, which have weakened the monitoring agencies and used misguided strategies to fight deforestation, such as deploying the armed forces rather than environmental protection agents. These numbers show us that we are continuing to move in the wrong direction than the one needed to deal with the climate emergency and the biodiversity crisis." The Observatoria de Clima group said soaring destruction comes as no surprise to those following the dismantling of environmental policy that has been underway in Brazil since January of 2019. The numbers simply show that Jair Bolsonaro's plan has worked. They are the result of a successful project to annihilate the ability of the Brazilian state and its monitoring agencies to care for our forests and fight crime in the Amazon rainforest, it said in a statement. Hamilton Mourão said the figures, which were produced with information from the PRODE satellite system, showed most of the devastation was occurring in four regions of the Amazon: the Pará state, the north of Mato Grosso state, and the south of Amazonas state and Rondônia. Pará state, a long-time deforestation hotspot, was by far the worst affected state, accounting for almost 47% of the total deforestation. Thanks to INPA's work, we now have a perfect sense of where we need to focus our actions in order to prevent illegal activities occurring, Vice President Hamilton Mourão told reporters, praising his brilliant scientists for their efforts. But despite a growing green government propaganda campaign, which recently saw Mourão take foreign ambassadors on a tour of the Amazon region, environmentalists and foreign investors are skeptical about its efforts to protect the world's biggest rainforest. During the three-day excursion, foreign ambassadors were not taken to any of the deforestation hotspots, which Hamilton Mourão detailed on Monday. An activist dismissed the visit as simply a sham. In May of this year, thousands of Brazilian troops were sent to the Amazon rainforest, supposedly to fight environmental crime, although many believe they are merely making things much worse. Carlos Rittel said one ray of light was the recent defeat of Bolsonaro's key international ally, President Donald Trump. Without the backing of Trump in the United States, the international pressure on Bolsonaro over the environment will increase, and it will increase a lot, he predicted. Jair Bolsonaro is one of only a tiny group of world leaders who has yet to recognize President-elect Joe Biden's victory, and on Sunday claimed without proof that unnamed sources have convinced him that the US elections have been plagued with fraud.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is your host Ali Maysam, and you're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this is For Humanity. Well, one thing first, most specific I want to mention here is when you talk about Islam and you talk about Muslim, they're both different perspective. When you talk about Muslims, mostly people I see that they try to defame Islam, whereas a matter of fact, they're both different perspectives. When you talk about Muslim, there's a different perspective. When you talk about Islam, there's a different perspective. Well, Islam, as you know, is also given the rights of basic necessity of life. Islam has recognized the rights of the needy people that needs assistance with a provide for them. And there's wealth and there's acknowledged right for the needy ones and the destitute. Chapter number 51, verse number 19. In the verse of the Quran has not conferred a right of every man who asks for assistance in the wealth of a Muslim, but has also laid down that if a Muslim comes to know that a certain man is without the basic necessity of life, then irrespective of fact, whether asked for assistance or not, it is his duty to reach him and give all the help that can extend for this purpose. Islam has not dependent only on the help of charity that is given voluntarily, but has also made compulsory charity. As we all know that zakah is the fourth furu'e deen of Islam, next only at a profession of faith and worship of God through holding regular prayers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has clearly instructed and this respect that it will be taken from the rich and given to those in the community in need. In addition to this, has also declared that the Islamic state should support those who have nobody to support them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the head of the state is a guardian of him and whosoever nobody supports him. The word wali has also been given by the Holy Prophet in a very comprehensive word, which in a wide range of meaning, there's an orphan and an aged man, there's a crippled, and then it is the duty and responsibility of the state and support and arrest them. If a dead man has no guard or there, then the duty of the state to arrange his proper burial. In short, the state has been entrusted with the duty of responsibility for looking after all those need in assistance. A truly Islamic state is therefore a truly welfare state, which is be guardian and protector to all those in need. Equality before law. Well, a lot of people say the equality doesn't stand when it comes to the law. Islam gives the citizen the right to absolute and complete equality in the eyes of the law. As far as the Muslims are concerned, there are clear instruction in the Holy Quran and Hadith that their rights and obligations, they're equal. The believers are brothers to each other. Chapter number 49, verse number 10. And if their disbelievers repent, keep up the prayers, pay the import due, they're your brothers in faith. Chapter number 9, verse number 11. The Prophet has said, the life and blood of Muslims are equally precious. In another hadith, he has said, the protection given to all the Muslims are equal. An ordinary man to them can grant protection to any man. In other more detailed tradition of the Holy Prophet, has been said that all that accept oneness of God, believe the Prophet of his messenger, give up the prominent prudence and join the Muslim community brotherhood, then they're the same rights and obligation as other Muslims have. Thus, there's absolute equality between the new convert of Islam and the old followers of the faith. This righteous brotherhood and uniformity of their brothers and obligations is the foundation of equality in Islamic society, in which the rights and obligations of any person and neither greater or no less in any way than the rights and obligation of other people. As far as the non-Muslim citizens of the Muslim state are concerned or Islamic states are concerned, the rule of Islamic Sharia law about them have very expressed by Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Let's take a break. We'll be right back and continue what Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam has said.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. And as I mentioned, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam has said, they have been accepted our protection only because their lives may be like our lives and their properties like our properties. In other words, in their dhimmi lives and protection and properties are as sacred as the lives and properties of the Muslim. Discrimination of people into different classes was only the greatest crime that according to the Quran, Pharaoh used to indulge in. He had divided his people into different classes, and he suppressed one group of them at the cost of other. Chapter number 28, verse number 4. When you talk about ruler not above the law, well, Islam even talks about that, you know, when I said I remember in the previous episodes I mentioned how Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam was taken to the court and he did not even say a word. Where I even proclaimed it, I even said this, I made a statement that in this world that you live in, forget the Islamic leader, you cannot take any leader to the authorities. I even mentioned some are even above the law or the authorities. While Islam even talks about their ruler are not above the law. Islam clearly intakes and demands the official of the Islamic State, whether he be head or an ordinary employee, are equal in the eyes of law. None of them is above the law and claim immunity. Even an ordinary citizen in Islam has a right to put forward and a claim in a file and a legal complaint against the highest accuser of Islam, of the country. On the occasion of the Battle of Badr, when the Prophet ﷺ was straightening the row of Muslims' army, he hit the belly of a soldier in an attempt to push him back, and the soldier complained, "O Prophet, you have hurt me with a stick. The Prophet immediately bared his belly and said, "I'm very sorry, you can revenge by doing the same to me." The soldier came forward and kissed the Prophet and said this was all he wanted. When the Islamic State was flourished and its present glory and splendor, the common people could equally plodge and complain against the caliph of the time in the court, and caliph has appeared before the qadi and answered the charges, and the caliph had any complaint against citizen, he could use the administrative power and authority to send the matter high or right, and had to refer the case to the court of law of proper deduction. Well, when you talk about the concept of the rights of to avoid sins, Islam also confirms that the rights of every citizen that will not be ordinary to commit a sin and a crime or offense. If a government or the administrator or the head of department orders an individual to do a wrong, then he has the right to refuse and complete the order. His refusal to carry out such crime and unjust instruction would be regarded to offense in the eyes of Islamic law. On the contrary, giving orders of one subordinate to commit a sin or do a wrong itself, an offense, such a serious offense, that is official who gives his sinful order, whatever his rank and position may be, it is legible to summarize, dismiss. This clear instruction of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam are summarized in the following hadith. It is not permissible to disobey Allah in obedience to order any human rights. In other words, no one has a right, is subordinary to do anything against the law of God. If such an ordinary is given the subordinary and the right of ignoring and openly refuse to carry out instruction, according to this rule, no offender will be able to prove his innocence and escape punishment by saying that his offense was committed on the order of the government or supervisor of officers. Well, that is it for today. Don't forget to visit our website, which is www.parstoday.com, and click on the tab Call of Islam, where you can find our programs as well as this one. And you can email us and contact us on englishradio@irib.ir. With that being said, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allahumma salli wa sallim ala rasuli wa ali nabi al-azim. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala rasuli wa ali nabi al-azim. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala rasuli wa ali nabi
العظيم. Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.